getting saved, born again, changed life. Almost seven of those 11 years I've been doing Liberty Behind Bars ministry.
Amen.
I mean, God has been so good.
Amen.
To look down on a person such as myself and open the door for me to work with those that are in, listen, those men that are in jail and prison mean just as much to Jesus Christ as you do.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
And God has given me the responsibility to reach them.
I love it.
Man, what? Wow, what a, man, do you know what that's like? This whole week and many weeks, I don't sleep. Why? Because God has given me the responsibility of this Bible. To get it out there. And to preach it. And to live it. And that's a serious matter. I see what's going on today is people don't take it serious anymore. They'll go online and they'll buy some copyrighted messages and they'll get up there and teach everybody else's stuff except for what God gives them. I don't want what other people have. I mean, I've got hundreds of messages that God has given me, hundreds. But you know which one I want? I want which one God has for this service.
Amen.
Every church I go in, I want a special message for those people that are sitting in that church pew, whether they're saved or they're lost. That's a responsibility preachers out there just don't have. They've lost that burden for the Word of God. You know how I know that? Because the more programs they put in their church, the more you realize they don't believe in Jesus Christ or the power of that King James Bible to change a person's life. That's not my message, I'm just saying. That's just the reality of what's going on out there. And so you pray for the Morris because it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle trying to live this life as a Christian. It's a spiritual battle trying to raise a family and have a ministry. You see, most people who are on deputation aren't doing their ministry work. But I still have a responsibility to the ministry. And I thank God for every one of you that helps us be able to go out on the road and keep this ministry functioning. Because without you, it wouldn't be happening. It would be impossible. I'm getting ready to leave on the road for a whole month. We won't be in this church. Thursday is our last night in this church for a whole month. And I mean, God's taking us clear all the way to Idaho and back to present the ministry.
Amen.
And without you folks helping, those of you guys who have volunteered to help us, thank you so much.
Glory to God.
May Amen. God bless you for your help. With Liberty Behind Bars, I go around and I tell churches, I said, let me just tell you this right now. I said, my church didn't leave this ministry high and dry. Our church has stepped up and they have gotten involved and they have helped. And, you know, only God can reward you for that. I can only do so much and say so much, but God in heaven will, you know, bless you. Thank you guys so much for it. Anyway, turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 22. I just want to say a few things here. You know, there's a plethora of physical and mental and spiritual trials we're going to face as believers. You know, people think that when you get saved, all of a sudden all these things are just going to go away, and it's not. As a matter of fact, there's times it's going to multiply in our lives. Why? Well, we still live in the flesh. We still have the sin nature. The devil's still alive and well, is where I can understand. He's still out there, and he still wants to destroy us and accuse us of these things.
Yeah.
And then there's God. And then there's God who may not like something in your life.
Uh-oh.
He might not like an attitude. I was just reading the Bible yesterday or the day before. I think I shared it with Ronnie, where God allowed the flattery of people to destroy his people. Imagine somebody continually coming up to you and tell you, man, what a good job. Wow, what a wonderful job. Man, what a good job. And it destroyed Israel.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know who did that? God allowed that to happen.
Right.
Why? He's trying to show them what they're all about inside. God's going to show you these things little by little. He's going to bring them out inside of you. And he's going to continue to work with you on these things. Look, God didn't save us, Nick, to put it in neutral and just comes to heaven. That ain't happening. And I thank God that it continues to work in our life. And look, it don't always have to be a big thing. You know what I realized, Tim? That I started concentrating on the big stuff and forgot about the still small voice.
Uh-oh.
God just showed me that this week. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Because those small things are important to you too. There's a plethora of things we're going to face as believers. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction. Our light affliction, he calls it. This temporary thing that we're facing, he calls it a light affliction. But sometimes it's not going to feel light, my friend. But Paul says this, he says, but our light affliction is for but a moment. It's not going to last for eternity. Thank God we don't have to put up with it for however many years God gives us to deal with it. And then for eternity we'll have it no more.
Amen.
But look what it says here. It worketh for us. These afflictions are for us. They're the work in us. They're to bring about what God wants for our lives. My friend, just in case you didn't realize this, but when you got saved, your will went out the door. You no longer have a purpose but to live for Jesus Christ. This light affliction, he says, worketh for us. Hey, lost person, this affliction is working for you, not against you.
Amen.
Start looking at it differently.
Right.
God's afflicting you because he's trying to say, come.
Right.
That's a commandment from God to come. It's a commandment. Jesus Christ says, come. Some of us have to be under that affliction for a while before we start coming. But look what it says here. He says, for us, for a far more exceeding. You know, he could have stopped at the word more, but he put exceeding afterwards. Why? Here's the weight of it. Far more exceeding and eternal. Not temporal. The things that God puts on in our lives today and allows them to come is not just for the temporal, it's for the eternal. You see, we look at things and we think just everything for the temporal, everything for the now and now. Paul just said, no, this is working a far better thing for the eternal. For when you get into heaven, these light afflictions will seem nothing when you're face to face to your Savior. And it'll look like you went through nothing for all the years that God has given you. A lot of people get this thing in their head that Christians don't get afflicted the same way the unsaved do, and that's a lie. They die just as well from cancer. They die just as well from car accidents. They die just as well from heart disease and everything else. But it's a light affliction. You know why we look at this so heavy is because what we do is we asphyxiate ourselves here on earth. Everything's about the now and now. Everything's about what we can see, feel, and touch. And we forget about the eternal. We forget about those things that are coming. He says, put your conversation in heaven. That means your lifestyle is not just asphyxiated about here. There's something coming that's better. When's the last time you looked for that better one?
Yeah.
You can't if you're always stuck on your affliction. I haven't even got the message yet. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, when I get up there, please take over. It's hard. It's hard to have the responsibility to preach. It's not about just getting up here and being loud and rowdy and all. It's not about that. And I've learned that very quickly. That God has put a heaviness and a burden in my heart for people, whether they're saved or whether they're lost. God in these last few months has stirred me. He's put a vehement desire in my heart for lost people like never before.
Amen.
Time is short. How does God accomplish these things in our life? Luke 17:5 says this, the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Well, be careful when you pray that.
Yes.
Be careful when you go and say, Lord, would you increase our faith? Hey, Lord, would you help me to believe in this more? Would you help me get through this situation more? Because I'm telling you right now, my friend, you start praying stuff like that and God will answer it. I want to show you a little example of this in Genesis chapter 22. This is where we're going to stay. Genesis chapter 22, look at verse 1. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham... And he said, behold, hey, look, God, here am I. Hey, look, God, Abraham, look at this is what I, here I am, God. My friend, when's the last time you heard God call your name and you said, here I am? Oh, when it falls into your will. when it falls into your comfort, when you can fit it on your calendar. Oh, not Abraham. There's many lessons we can learn in the story of Abraham and Isaac. And I want to share it with you because there's so much in it. I may not have time to get through the whole thing, but here he says, immediately he hears God's voice and he says, here I am. Look, here I am. And he says this to him. He goes up and he says, here I am. This trying here is the attempt. He's going to try Abraham's faith. He's going to test it. Let me just turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to read this to you. Deuteronomy chapter 8, thank you very much. And I'm going to read two verses here, and I want you to listen to what this has to say. I wasn't sure if I was going to read it or not. I don't even have it written down. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says this, "And thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord thy God led thee." You see the verse, very few words that he said there? You shall remember the way. God's going to put you through things, and you're going to remember the way. You're going to remember that way. Where are the children of Israel at this point? They're in the wilderness. Wilderness is a dry, desert place. It's a place of death. And God led Israel to the wilderness. Why? Because he had to get their attention. They wouldn't listen any other way. My friend, let me just say this. That's a real thing that happened to Israel. But spiritually, God will bring you to the desert. And he's going to get your attention one way or the other. And look what it says here. And it says this. He said, "You shall remember the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years." Could you imagine God bringing you out into the wilderness and leaving you there for 40 years? I hate not to have my relationship with God for an hour. But 40 years? The affliction that must be to a soul of a person. And it goes on and it says this, for 40 years, why did he leave him in the wilderness to humble thee? You see, sometimes it takes a wilderness experience to humble you. Why? Because you won't humble yourself. It says, humble yourself where? Under the mighty hand of God, not in it. Under. Under God's hand. Lord, here's my life. Lord, here's my everything. Lord, here's my whole entire walk. Here's everything. Lord, here it is. Put me where you want to put me. Bring me to where I need to be. First thing he's got to do is humble you. And then it goes on and it says this. And to prove thee. What's that mean? To prove you. To see where you stand with him. To see where your faith is. To test you. I heard about the LaRoches. I was listening to pastors preaching on that whole thing, going to pay the rent. That was a test. God was proving them to see where they stood in that thing. But let me just tell you this. They got an A+ on that test.
Amen.
Wait till the next one comes. The next one's coming. Pray God strengthen you for the next one. And then when you get that to that one, the next one's going to come after that. Oh, wait. And then the next one's going to come after that. And then the next one's going to come. You see, that's called the proving. God's not only, he's trying to show you where your heart is at. You see, God, he already knows where my heart is at. But how can he get me to see my heart when he strips everything out from underneath me?
Uh-oh.
You see, if God left us in our comfort zone, we surely would. Just think about when troubles come upon you, how much more your Bible reading means to you.
Uh-huh.
How much more does church mean to you when God has ripped that rug out from underneath you? How much more does your prayer mean to you when God takes that rug and he rips it out from underneath you? You see, because God has to remove us out of our comfort zone to get our attention. Because he knows that we learn more out of our comfort zone than we ever will in it. That's why I understand these comfort zone Christians. How everything is just fine and dandy all the time. Man, it makes me wonder a little bit. Look what it says here. Prove thee and to know what is in thine heart. God doesn't need to know what's in our heart. He's trying to show us what's in our heart. Whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And this here, my friend, is why God is tempting Abraham. He's going to show the world Abraham's faith. New Christian. What faith are they going to see in you? What faith are they going to see in you? What are they going to see in you when the afflictions start rolling in? What are they going to see in you? Because look at it. You're just born, newborn again, and you're enjoying it. It's called I call it the Liberty honeymoon phase. But my friend, that's coming to an end. I'm warning you now, it's coming to an end. Prepare yourself now. I got ahead of myself. 1 Peter 1:7 says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perish. How about if I said, hey, you know, in this room right here, there's a whole room full of gold bullion. Man, that would mean so much to every one of us. Would be like, oh my goodness, we're billionaires having all that gold. Do you know your faith that Jesus Christ is worth more than that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So how do you think he's going to get your faith there? Leaving you the way you are? Letting you sit where you sit? Doing what you do? Oh no, my friend. Oh no. Look what it says here. He says that the trial of your faith, God is going to put your faith on trial.
Uh-oh.
It's going to stand there and he's going to be, guess who's going to be the judge? He is. What's your faith going to look like on trial? What's it going to look like, Christian? What's it going to look like when everything starts falling out from underneath you and that honeymoon phase is over and God starts sending things your way and allowing things to come and now your faith is on trial before Almighty God, whose your faith to Him is more precious than any gold bullion we can put in here. Why? Because gold perish, but your faith won't. He's got to build that up. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Will our faith be found unto the praise, glory, and honor of Jesus Christ? He's going to look at our faith and say, that is to my honor, that is to my praise, and that is to my glory. How about it, Christian? Is your faith going to be there when Jesus Christ comes back? Can he say his faith? Her faith was to my praise, my glory, and my honor. Or is your faith about yourself and what you do?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Our faith is supposed to please Him. It's what it just said there. Unto His glory. Unto His honor. It's not about what my faith can do for me. It does help. Your faith will help. And you're going to see here that Abraham's faith took him a long way. Mm-hmm. Unto whose honor and glory? It was accounted unto him for righteousness. Why? Because it was under his glory and honor. People get wrapped up in their faith for their glory and honor. That's nothing to God. Mm-hmm. He will remove that. There will be times of trying or testing of our faith to produce the outcome of God's will in our life. Genesis 22:2 says this, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer there him a burnt offering. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. Verse 3, it said, and Abraham arose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. God just commanded Abraham to take the very one he loves, Isaac, and offer him up for a burnt offering. God gave Isaac a promise that he would be a great nation. And God just told him, now you're going to go kill your son. He's going to be a burnt offering unto me. Where would your faith be? Where would your faith be if God came to you with such a thing? Because I'm going to tell you now, there are many people, and many people who will come, who sit in this church and many churches, who have a high-minded faith about themselves. Brother, who I've watched in times of trials crumble. Don't put yourself in that spot. Don't put your faith somewhere where you think you're this Superman, you got this S on your chest, and you'll be able to handle everything that comes your way. My friend, says God's got to bring something your way, you ain't going to want it. He said, I want you to offer your son, your only son. Abraham doesn't even flinch what God commanded him to do. He didn't say, God, why me? Why not those heathens out there? Or why not this or why not? He didn't flinch at the commandment of God. He said, go and take your son, and I want you to offer him up for a burnt offering. And he went and did it. He didn't question God. Oh, I can tell you the stories of me, God, why me? God, why? Why would you do this to me and my family? Why would you do this to me? Oh no, Abraham stood up and said, I'm going, God. Just give me a minute here. You know why? Romans 4:3 tells us why. For what the scripture saith, Abraham believed God.
Amen.
He believed God. And what does it say? He believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Those of you who just got saved, you believed God and God gave you his righteousness. Lost person, if you'll believe God, he'll give you his righteousness. And what he says, when he told Abraham, get up and take your son and go offer him for a burnt offering, he went and did it. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed. Well, let me just tell you this, lost person. Jesus Christ is telling you, come.
Amen.
Is his word any less powerful in your life than Abraham? Is it not the same God that we serve? He says that the God of Abraham and Isaac, that means he's the God of the living, not the dead. He's still alive today. God is not dead because you're lost.
Uh-huh.
It's a reality. To believe in your Bible demands an action. If you believe what the Bible says, you'll do it. Abraham believed God and did exactly what he told him to. That's belief. That's a King James definition of belief in your Bible. I didn't get that from the Oxford or 1828. I went and searched out everywhere it says to believe. You know what it told me? That when a person believed, they did exactly what it told them to do.
Amen.
That's belief in your King James Bible. If you believe it, you do it, and it's done. At this point, God could have stopped. He could have stopped right there and said, Abraham, I see your heart. I see your faith. You don't need to go any further, but he did. He could have said, Abraham, I see you're willing to do this. I see that your heart, you've made yourself ready for this, and now, guess what? You don't have to go any farther, but he did not do that to Abraham. Let's read on. Look what it says here in verse 4 and 5. It says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Ready for this? And come again unto you. Do you hear what he just said? The faith of Abraham. He said, I and the lad will go up and come again unto you. He said, I'm going to come back down with my son.
Amen.
Though God just told me to offer him up for a sacrifice. Why? Because he believed that God could raise him from the dead. I and the lad are going to go and worship and come again. He just told everybody, I'm bringing my son back. Why? Because God told him there's a promise that your son Isaac will be a great nation. And Abraham believed it no matter what the circumstance looked like. Abraham believed God. It looked hopeless, Stephen. But Abraham stood up and said, I'm going to go offer my son as a sacrifice. And by the way, guys, we are coming back.
Amen.
He didn't say, I'm coming back. He says, we are coming back. We are coming back. Why? Because he believed God that no matter what the circumstance looked like, no matter what trial he was going to be in, that he believed that God could deliver him.
Amen.
My friend, God is going to bring every one of us as Christians to such places. Lost person, God will bring you there. Why? Because when it's all hopeless, he wants you to look to him and be able to trust him and believe in him that he can do it. He's not in a little box. Stop boxing God up.
Yeah.
You put him in a little box and you tell him, well, you can only do it up to this point, God. You got the wrong God. Abraham said, I and the lad will come back. Abraham believed that even if a son got sacrificed, that God was able to raise him from the dead. Let me just tell you this. Abraham's faith right here is a picture of the faith of Jesus Christ. How do you say that? Because Jesus told, he said this in the book of Psalms and the book of Acts, that my soul will not be left in hell. He knew that he'd be raised again. Abraham just showed us a picture of the faith of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. He said this, I will walk in the land of the living. Do you know Abraham believed that very thing about his son Isaac?
Amen.
Even though he was about to go up Mount Moriah and sacrifice him for a burnt offering, he believed God so much that he knew that his son would be raised again. Why? Because God said, I'd make a great nation out of you. I will resurrect him. And Abraham was looking forth to Jesus Christ and saying, Jesus is going to raise again. His faith. He had faith, Charity, that a soul would not be left in hell. Was it? It's a picture of the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, God, Hebrews 11, verse 17 through 19 says this, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Abraham received that promise that your son will be a great nation. And here he still went to offer him up. In verse 18 says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In verse 19 of Hebrews 11 says this, accounting. You know what that word accounting means? That he rendered this to God's account. He left that to God's account, that God would raise him up again. He said, I put this on your account, God. Lost person, put your soul on God's account. Because he said he'd save you. Is he a liar? Put it to God's account. He said he'd save you.
Amen.
What a wonderful God.
Yeah.
What a wonderful promise to be able to say, God, your word says that you died for me. You shed your blood for me. Your soul went to hell to pay for my sins. You raised again on the third day so that I can live. I'm putting that on your account, Lord. Save me. I'm accounting that to you. How about it, Christian? You're going to put things to God's account? And have the faith of Abraham when those things come upon you and those trials come and those hard things come? That you can say, Lord, you told me that if I did this, you would do this. I'm putting that on your account. You can't lie. It's your word. What he said. That God was able to raise him up even from the dead. From whence also he received him. He received him as a figure. He's looking forward to what's coming. Abraham's looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. It's a figure. It's a picture of things that are going to come. God was showing Abraham that Messiah would come and take the sinner's place. That Messiah would come just like that ram that was caught in the thickets was going to take the place. He showed Abraham that. That's why it was a figure. A picture of something to come. And you know what? Abraham believed it.
Amen.
He believed it. God could have stopped right there and said, Abraham, I see your heart and your faith. Go no further. But he didn't. Look at Genesis 22:6. It said, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they both went together. That phrase, laid upon it upon Isaac, this is a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is something that God the Father would endure. You see, God didn't tell Abraham to go and do something that he would not understand. Because God the Father, when Jesus Christ came down to earth and lived as a man, he would understand exactly what Abraham's going through. Because he's getting ready to offer his son. And so here's God. He's telling Abraham, I want you to go and do this. And Abraham said, I'll go do it. And God had an understanding of this. Because he would do this with Jesus Christ. In John 19:17, he said, he bearing his cross went forth in a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew, Golgotha. Isaac walked up Mount Moriah with the wood on his back. Jesus Christ walked up Mount Calvary. And Abraham believed it. Abraham's going to get a glimpse into the Messiah through his own life. My friend, can people look at your life and say, I see a glimpse of Jesus in that person. I see a glimpse of Jesus Christ in their faith and in their walk and in their trials. We think we go through some hard things. My goodness, we go through nothing. We call our trials hard. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the pastor said Thursday, heard of a pastor here recently that just got thrown in the fire for his faith. He was burned alive today in 2022. He was burned alive for his faith in Jesus Christ. My friend, let me ask you, where would you stand in that? I don't know. I can tell you honestly, I don't know where I'd stand. It'd take a supernatural thing for me to be able to say, go ahead, John Mark, throw me in the fire because I won't denounce Jesus. But let me tell you this, new Christian, don't think that kind of stuff can't come upon you.
Yeah.
And you may not burn in a fire, but it's sure going to feel like it, because if I remember correctly, 1 Peter said it's a trial by fire.
Uh-oh.
It's going to hurt. When God starts testing your faith, it's going to hurt. Why? Because you'll put your trust in everything else, and then finally you'll wake up and go, oh, maybe I should have put my faith in God.
Yeah.
Maybe in the beginning of this whole thing, I should have just stopped and said, Lord, I put my faith in what you can do. Why? Because this is what you promised me. Genesis 22:7-8 says this, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will. This is God's will. God's will is to do what? Provide himself a lamb.
Amen.
It was God's will to provide himself in place of Isaac.
Yeah.
You say, Abraham didn't know that yet.
Yeah.
Abraham didn't know what was going to take place, but he knew this. My son's not going to die. Something's going to come in his place. God will provide himself a lamb. Could you imagine? You're sitting there, Tim, and you're getting ready to... It says to kill his son. And you have such faith that your son that's laying on that woodpile... I'm going to finish up here. I don't have time to get through all. Look at it. Your son's laying on that woodpile. And you just tell him that. Don't worry, God's going to provide himself a lamb. Do you know who never questioned that? Isaac did. You know why? Pastor, he was watching his father.
Amen.
He believed in Isaac's God. Because Isaac believed in his God. Because Abraham believed in his God. And guess what? Isaac saw him live it.
Amen. Come on.
He never questioned his father on anything that he ever done. Why? You know why, Tim? Because he saw the faith of God in his father. Let me ask you this, my friend. How about your children? What faith are they seeing in you? When you tell them something, they start questioning you. Could it be because you question your own faith in these trials? Could it be that you're questioning God when you're going through hard times? Like, you know better than God. If that's the case, then Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die. You could have handled it yourself. But Isaac said, okay, Dad, I'll lay down on the wood. I'll let you start that fire. And then Abraham lifts that knife up. And then, and only then, does God step in and stop him. But you see the point that he had to bring them to? My friends, God's going to bring you to a point. God's going to bring you to a point. Preacher, God's going to bring you to a point where you have nothing left but God. You want to preach that God's going to bring you to places? It's the only thing that you have left is God. There'll be no man to help you. There'll be no self-will to help you. There'll be no self-help books. God and him alone is going to be the one. Where's your faith, new Christian? Start working on it today. You know why? Because these trials are going to come. And when they come, God wants to see where your faith is. Pastor, I'm done.
And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. God will show himself. He always does. Thank you, Brother Dale. Appreciate that message. We're going to have you turn, if you will, please, to page 47.